Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Tom. Great to be here. Great to meet people in the breakout rooms as well. And what I'm going to do is, it says master in the art of property negotiations. I'm really just going to share with you how I do my property negotiations when it comes to doing my rent-to-rent businesses, purchase lease options, buying properties and things. So a lot of the things that we're going to cover in this presentation, so to speak, is what I do, how I do things. And of course, if you can take any of those tips and tricks and they help you, then all the better. So moving forward, who am I? You know, I am a father first and foremost. I have two wonderful sons and a loving wife who puts up with me and she has done for 20 years now, which is always, always great. She and my boys are my why. Everybody says you have to have a reason why, and I do. If I lost everything today, as long as I've got those guys and girls in my life and they are around me, I'm a happy man. So for me, it's very, very easy to go out there, get involved in property or anything, safe in the knowledge that, you know, my home life is good. I've got a supportive family around me, and that's what matters here. And there's three things fundamentally that I want to cover today. And a lot of it can start with, you know, what you're going to be offering, what you're going to be putting out there, how you're going to be negotiating, because I think that starts as soon as you get contact from somebody else. And of course, making sure that all of your deals are a win-win for all parties. So as I say, a father of two, and I forgot about the dog Archie. I worked as a production manager for 16 years until 2018, feeling trapped, feeling disheartened, wanting to do something more. I had my head down working all the hours God would send. And to be quite honest with you, I was fed up and I wanted to change my life. So I did. I started looking at property. And I think, as we all know, property is a very, very good platform in the UK and in and around the world. Everybody always looks at property for wealth building and creating. And I just wanted to try and get my time back. So what have I achieved? Well, I invested in myself. I always invest in myself. I love listening to podcasts, watching YouTube channels, reading blogs, investing in training and coaching and support. Why? Because I believe that the best I can be will never, ever end. I always have to push myself. I always have to try and be better. I've done different property training programs as well. I've been top performer. I'm an award-winning property investor. I don't say any of this to brag. I just really like to say this because if I can do this, anybody can do this. And it really is a bit of an old cliche, but it really is so, so true. You've just got to commit yourself. You've got to dedicate yourself to what it is you want to achieve, how you want to achieve it, and then just start taking action on those. I've built a rent-to-rent business, which I used in the HMO strategy and the serviced accommodation strategy now, and I've started to build my own portfolio of buy-to-lets that I actually do for serviced accommodation on, because interest rates have sort of forced me to do so. In 12 months, when I started out at the beginning of 2019, my plan was to try and at least replace my wage. I managed to triple my corporate wage in 12 months using this strategy and using a lot of the techniques that I picked up and learned through that time, which I'm going to share with you here and now. So as I say, rent to rent and serviced accommodation, HMOs, has been predominantly my main strategy. A lot of people put their nose up to rent to rent, and I didn't want to do rent to rent when I first started, but I actually saw other people doing it and thought I could do it a little bit better. So I went for it because I didn't have a massive amount of money and I wanted to start building up my investment portfolio. I have also built a business with my rent to rent. So not only have I got enough properties that give me the lifestyle that I want, I've actually got more properties than I need now so that I can employ people in my business, safe in the knowledge that I don't have to run around and chase up tenants and do onboardings and do viewings. Yes, I did it all in the beginning. And I think you should as well, to a certain point. But now I actually have my own management business with virtual assistants and viewing agents that do a lot of the running around for me, which is great. As I say, I featured in YPN, spoken at many events, also delighted to be invited to this event to speak here as well on this podcast. And that's basically me. I host the Property Unleashed podcast as well. So do feel free to check that one out, where I just share my insights and my learnings. So let's jump into the action, because that's what we're here for. And it all starts with you and what you can offer whenever you get into a negotiation. Now, there's some savvy investors here that have done property deals that are probably going to listen to a bit of this and think to themselves, do you know what? You know, I know that. But as I say, I think we all have our own way of doing things. And sometimes it can work for you, sometimes it can't. I think you've got to look at your personality. You've got to look at what you're doing. But for me, And this is all personal to me. As soon as a landlord contacts me, or I contact a landlord or an agent or a vendor or anybody like that, I'm in negotiations mode from the word go. And we like to build up the know, like, and trust. But I also think you've got to start finding facts straight away. You've got to start digging into what these people need. So as it all starts and stops with you and what you can offer, as soon as you understand, you know, that all good deals and negotiations are down to you being able to provide a solution. And that's fundamentally what it is all about. If you want to hold the power when you're negotiating on deals, and I say power not to be, you know, pushing people into deals or anything like that, but I mean that the powers of negotiation, because not everybody's going to want or what you want to give them. So by understanding, first and foremost, what you want to bring to each and every deal, you will have a bit more confidence and a bit more power when you're walking in, when you're talking to vendors, when you're starting to really get deep into the negotiation. For me, I always think you should have set some goals, set some vision to determine, you know, the ideal outcome that you're looking for first and foremost. When I say it's a win-win, yes, we can negotiate, we can change things around, but we want to make sure that we're all on the same page, but we equally need to know what we need to get out of this, because a lot of people will try, particularly early on, to fudge the numbers. You know what I mean? When I say fudge the numbers, they'll start tweaking the numbers. Well, maybe I can get more rent. Well, maybe I can, the utilities won't be enough. Maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do that. I always say, don't do that. That's a dangerous game to get involved in. The numbers have to work. The numbers have to stack. So make sure you know exactly what it is you can afford to offer. And basically, never start there, obviously. We're going to go into negotiations, but we're going to go into some of the mistakes and stuff like that. But make sure that you know what you can afford, what maybe you can stretch if need be, but basically where you want to start at. And sometimes you have to feel awkward when it comes to starting at that rate, because if you don't stay focused and you don't... if you want to try and, you know, manipulate decisions and things, you'll end up a lot of the time with a bit of buyer's remorse coming your way and stuff like that. So as I say, if you want to make it a win-win, make sure that deals are going through. Nobody wants to pull out at any point. You have to make sure that you're all aligned in the process. And that's what we're going to go through here in a second as well. So know the strategy that you want to use on somebody else's property inside and out. Do you know what I mean? If you've only got half an idea how to do, so to speak, a purchase lease option where you buy the property in the future, but you take it on now on a lease basically and manage it very much like a rent to rent, which again, rent to rent is where you take on a landlord's property, you manage it as if it's your own property and you pay them a guaranteed rent. You take care of all the utilities and bills and everything. But fundamentally, it's your responsibility to look after that property and to make sure it's paid. So make sure that you know whatever it is you're trying to do. If you're trying to buy the property, maybe it's commercial or anything, because a lot of people will maybe read a book, listen to a few podcasts and think, do you know what? That strategy sounds amazing. And then there's gaps. There's a lot of gaps in the knowledge. So if you aren't 100% sure what you're doing, make sure you dig deeper. Reach out to people that you know in these great communities, these great networking events that we have out there as well. And you're a part of one here. Reach out to people who have already done what it is you want to do. And, you know, if you have to pay for a bit of their time, take them to dinner, take them to lunch, but learn from them as well. And, you know, obviously look to help them so that they'll be more inclined to help you, but know what it is you're doing. So negotiating starts as soon as you make contact with somebody. And be, you know, to be confident, but also to listen actively. Now, myself, I've had to really work at the active listening, you know, sellers, concerns, making sure that I'm not just bombarding them with question after question after question. So as soon as I sort of meet somebody, it's nice to find out why they've called you, basically, or why you're talking to them, why their property's for sale, why it's for rent. What is the issue? Somebody's got an issue. If they've contacted you, even better. So if you've marketed to people and they've rang you and they've said, well, I'm just interested in a price, that's the first bit. That's what I call the fluff. There is an underlying issue, and it could just be price, don't get me wrong, but there is normally an underlying issue as to why they picked up the phone or they wanted to speak to you today to find out more. They're not happy with something. So it really is us about building the stepping stones to find out what that is and see if what we're going to propose will be the solution for them. So what may be important to them may not even cross your mind, okay? We can't assume things. And a lot of the times I used to jump down there and think, well, they want this, they want that, without even asking the relevant questions. But a lot of the times, there's questions that you want to ask will be in a conversation. They won't actually be, so to speak, maybe some bullet points of the property that you want to find out the price, that you want to see, you know, why did you call me today? Well, I called you today just to see what you're offering. Okay, that's fine. But there's an underlying issue as to why you've called me. So I need to find that. And that normally comes through good communication and good conversations. Conversations are when people open up better and you really will find out what the problem is. So it's all about finding their pain point and what do they need and can I fix that? And don't try and force any deals just because you want to do those deals with them. So property, as we know, is all about relationships and people. If you don't have enough leads, you're not meeting enough people. It's as simple as that. So if you are in your property business now thinking it's a bit quiet out there, it's not. You're just not touching the right pressure points to be finding the right deals. The opportunities are all there. We just have to make sure that we're broadening our horizons, so to speak, and reaching out to enough people to be able to pull in enough leads. And of course, to build a property business, it's great to be behind a computer screen or, you know, checking the numbers, checking out what's there, ringing up and things, but you've got to get boots on ground. You've got to shake people's hands. You've got to get in front of them. So you can always get a better idea. And of course, you can be flexible and you can tailor your negotiation strategies accordingly to who you're talking to. But again, as long as you've got that end in mind to say to yourself, right, I can pay this. I know this property's in a good area. So this is all of a sudden, there's a good rental demand. So for me, for rent to rent, there's good rental demand in this area. I know I can make good money with this property. I've just got to make sure that I get the property at a price that works for me and works for the landlord as well. Because if they're mortgaged up to the hilt, potentially, or they've got some serious void issues or something like that, and I physically cannot go up to that price, then I would just be taking on a bad deal just because I think I can change the numbers around later on. And that's what I see far too many people doing out there now. They just grab any old deal and think that they can make the numbers work because they think property will just work anywhere. Property can be forgiving, but it can also zap your money very, very quickly if you're not careful. So here's some top tips straight out the gate. You have to ask people what they want and actively listen to them. Two ears, one mouth for a reason. One of my mentors and coaches told me that. Mark, just shut up. Ask them a question and go quiet. I used to always try to fill in the dead spots that you have in a conversation. You'd ask a question. Maybe somebody's thinking. And I would then start talking again because I didn't like that awkwardness. Just leave it. Just leave it. Ask the question and let other people answer and listen to what they're saying. Don't be ready to jump in with the next question again. Make sure that they feel that you're listening to them. In most cases, you will get the fluff to start with. So a lot of people will not tell you if they've got a major problem. Some people could be embarrassed with the problem or a bit upset. Some people will just blurt it out. Boom, 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 boom. This is what the problem is. But normally it takes a good conversation, not just questions. So when I first get on a phone call with somebody and maybe they've rang me up through my marketing and they're normally asking me all the questions. How does this work? What do you offer? How much are you going to pay? Then all of a sudden, I've got to start turning that conversation around slightly to just say, I tell you, here's what we offer. Here's what we do. So you answer all their questions. But do you mind if I ask you a few questions now about the property and things like that? And I always put in questions a bit like, what made you call me today? Well, your letter landed through my letterbox and I'm sick of the letting agent. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're not after price. They're actually after a management company here because their managed company not doing a good job. So it is just about talking about it. But like I say, you'll get a lot of fluff, I like to call it, at the beginning. Even if you're buying properties, they might just say, well, I'm just selling this because I want the money. Now, if they need the money, that's fair enough. But a lot of times it could be to fund something, to move somewhere else because they're sick of something. So it really is, as I say, digging deeper into that. You get the real answers when you start having the conversations. And that is the beauty of it, because that's when you start to build up the know, like, and trust. Questions are great, but conversations that flow are the key to unlocking the answers that we need, okay? And this is where people open up to you and you know whether you're going to get the deal or not. A lot of the times, if I can have a good conversation with somebody, I can get a real good vibe, a real good feeling as to whether or not we're going to be doing a deal together, whether or not we can take this further. And also your gut, your second brain, as they say, the gut is a great one. I never look to get into any deals with any landlords or agents or anybody like that, no matter how good the property is. If I feel there's something off, something's not right, something doesn't feel right, and I've not gone with my gut before and just said, get on with it, Mark, you're not 100% sure, just go for it, and I've regretted it. So whenever I have gone with my gut, or if my gut says to me, no, this does not feel right, then I normally do walk away from it. And there's no harm in walking away from something that either you haven't got the solution for, or your gut's telling you that it's not the right thing for you, okay? So let's have a look out, and let's have a look at step three, which is really about making it a win-win. So build the know, like, and trust. So when you're doing deals and you're getting out there and you're talking to people and you're putting in offers and things like that, a lot of the time I think what you have to do is really get there and break it down for people. So once you've seen the property and you know the numbers and they work for you, it's all about the offer. And of course, negotiations, as I say, are a lot of people associate negotiations once they've placed the offer. I like to do the offer and negotiate at the same time as well by building up the yeses, as we like to say. I like to start getting people to agree with me if I'm going to be doing a deal with them. So you can make the offer, and of course, the offer can make or break a deal. If you put an offer straight in and a landlord or an agent or anybody just says, that's not going to work, but that's the highest you can go, just table the offer and say that offer stands for 30 days. I will leave it with you. After 30 days, I could still be interested in the property, but anything can happen in the market, so we would maybe have to renegotiate on that. It could go up, it could go down, but you know, I'll table that offer and I'll follow up with you. And that's another important thing. But make sure that you, as I say, know your numbers. And if you've offered a bit lower, which you should have always done when you start out, as with anything, even if you know you're doing a rent-to-rent deal or anything, always go in a bit lower so that you can squeeze more juice out of the deal, as I like to say as well. So if I put an offer in and a landlord says yes straight away, what have I done wrong? I've offered too much. And I have done that a few times. In fact, even as recently as a month ago, I had a landlord that I spoke to in 2019. He had three rent-to-rent deals and they were run down. They weren't very nice at all. I said to him, you need to put a bit of money into these, but I don't put vast amounts of money into deals. I said to him, but if you did these up, you'd be able to get a, you know, higher class of tenant and your properties will look really good. And of course, we can maintain it to that high standard. And he wasn't interested. But the beginning of 2023, he contacted my viewings lady, Sarah, and she went around and had a look, and he was just doing two of the three up. He's now finished doing them all up now. And yeah, we took them on. I walked around. I threw what I thought was a cheeky offer, because I like negotiations, and I thought we'll start negotiating, and he just said yes. And the funny thing was, actually, and the reason I'm telling this story is the funny thing was, when we walked out, Sarah turned around to me, and she said, do you always say that after in your negotiations? And I said, what's that? She said, really? Apparently, when I gave him the offer, and he said yes, and I went, really? Because I wasn't expecting it. I said, no, not really. I said, that was a bit unprofessional, but thanks for pointing that out to me. So it is really about making sure that, you know, you're going in lower so you can bring things up, because people want to feel like they're winning. So if you go in there with an offer that's maybe £100 less, if you're buying something, thousands of pounds we're talking about here, less, then you say to yourself, you know, I really like you. I can put the offer up. I can do this. But also it's that conversation with them as well. So always try and speak to people when you're actually putting your offers in. Okay. You need to get the landlord to start agreeing with you as soon as you talk numbers. And I'm going to go through a process in a second here that I do with all landlords. Now, if I can't get in front of them, if I can't be there in person to speak to them, I will try and do this on Zoom, try and get them onto a Zoom call. Worst case scenario is I'll do it on the phone. But the best case is to be in front of them. Now, if that deal's worth X amount of thousands of pounds to us profitably, and let's just say I'm up north and they're based down south, if I need to drive or get on a train to go down and see them, to have a lunch with them, to do this, I will do, because this is so, so powerful when done correctly. Okay, because when you start doing this, when you start putting offers in, when you start wanting to go out there, it's very, very rare for landlords or agents to really just come straight out of the bounce and say, oh yeah, that's happy days. I've had it a few times, but most of the time, this technique, which I learned basically because I was fed up with getting no's, and people weren't understanding the reasons why I was putting in those figures, why I was putting in those offers. And I thought to myself, do you know what? The next one that says no to me, I'm going to sit him down. I'm going to break it all down. And I'm going to see what he's thinking, because he's up there. He's wanting, you know, say £3,000 a month for gross rent. But that's what the actual property makes. So I can't pay him that because there's no way I can make money on that. But then he's got to take off his utilities. He's got to take off the voids that he's got. He's got two empty rooms at the moment. This is on an HMO. He's got management fees as well. And the management also charging him for maintenance. He's not taking any of that into account, because a lot of people just see the bigger picture. So I need to show him exactly what he's making here and now. And if I can sit down in front of him and do that, I'm going to give it a go. And this is what I do. So this is what I'm going to run through with you now. But hold on, I'm going to go through some common mistakes that people make first. I get giddy, I get excited. So offering the top amount right away, as they are worried it will be turned down. I can't offer any lower because they're going to turn me down, and then they might not talk to me anymore. Remember, this is business. Business to business. So at the end of the day, people will get back to you. People will talk to you. Okay. Everything is a negotiation at the end of the day. So don't be afraid to have a cheeky offer. Now, you all, like I say, are probably savvy investors and probably quite willing to be able to chuck in a cheeky offer. If your offer isn't a little bit embarrassing in your mind, it's too much. Okay. In most cases. Listen, if it's a sweet deal and the landlord or the agent or whoever is, if you're buying it, whether you're doing rent to rent, has said, this is what I want for it. You've ran your numbers and it's exactly, you know, you can pay that and it's a great deal at that. Let's not mess about. Don't even sit them down and start trying to just do the deal. You know, sometimes you just got to do the deal if it's a good deal. And that's where it goes back to knowing what you can offer, what you can put in there, so that you can share that with the agents, with the landlords, and of course, just do a deal. But I'm talking about if they're in cuckoo land, if they're not willing to come to the party just yet. A lot of people just send offers over by email and then sit back and wait to hear. I think that's crazy. So you'll have heard the old saying, the money's in the follow-up. In property, most of my deals that I've ever done in any of the strategies that I've done have been through follow-up, have been being consistent and persistent in my approach and pushing. So don't ever send, and I see this with some of my clients and students that I work with at the moment, they're like, how's it going? I'll say to them, how's it going? Where are we up to? I've sent them the offer. Okay, brilliant. It's Thursday now. You sent the offer when? I sent the offer on Monday. Brilliant stuff. Have you followed up with them and spoke to them? No, I'm waiting for them to get back to me once they've listened to the offer. Let's not do that. Let's make sure that we're proactive with our following up and we've got a great strategy. And again, another little thing, if you're not feeling a bit awkward with how much you're following up with people, then you're not following up enough. And that is a top tip. Trust me. Most of the time, I have never had anybody, I say most of the time, actually, I've never had anybody who I've consistently rang to try and get hold of them after I put an offer in, say to me, leave me alone, Mark, leave me alone. They might have said no to the offer, but they've always said, oh, I meant to ring you. Thanks for ringing me. I appreciate the call and things. So make sure that you're never waiting to hear back. You're proactive in what you're doing. I actually am probably a little too proactive. I'll send an offer within that hour. I will follow it up with a phone call. Even if I get the answer phone and just say, just to let you know, I've sent that offer over for your attention. Please give me a bell back. Once you've read the offer, once you've looked at the offer, so we can discuss any questions and anything you might have, but I will try you again. Let's say it's in the morning. I'll try again at 3 p.m. I always put a deadline on it. Why? Because people won't ring you back, but they might do if they know you're going to be ringing them. And then at 3 o'clock, I'd ring them up. Just me again, just checking in. You might not have had a chance to have a look at this yet. I know you're a busy person, so please feel free to ring me back at any time. If not, I'll try you again tomorrow at 10 a.m. And then I will try them at 10 a.m. And I will do that cycle until somebody either tells me to go away, which they can do, or says, you're a persistent little thing, aren't you? And that's putting it nicely. I have looked at your offer and I have some questions. And then all of a sudden we're getting into it. Just don't sit around waiting for people to get back to you. sending an offer over without adding a call to action. So what I like to do is I have an email sort of template which breaks down the offer, shows people what it's all about, and also the call to action afterwards. If you like this offer, you either ring me, you can email me or whatever like that, but give us a call. And these are the steps that we go next. So if it's rent to rent, and obviously we might want to go back into the property, we might want to start drawing up heads of terms, contracts and things. Obviously, if you're buying the property, it could be we're going to start going down a solicitor route. But just put a bit of a call to action on your offer emails or letters or whatever you're doing there, that just tell them the next steps and what they need to be doing as well. Because people are more inclined to do something if you tell them to do it in a nice enough way. If you're telling them, right, I want you to do, you're going to get people's backs up. But it's just like, if you're happy with all of this, this is what we do next. And we can help you with this and we can help you with that. Give people those step-by-steps, the actions to take. They may very well know what to take, but sometimes they don't. And sometimes it just gives them that G up that they're not sat around just thinking, well, I thought they'd have rang me by now. You will have rang them by now and those sort of things. Having no follow-up process. So have some sort of CRM system. You can use Trello, which is free if you want. Make some boards that you move the boards along. So, you know, made an offer, followed up at this date. It will send you little reminders to make sure that you're doing those things. But make sure you have a process to make sure that you are following up with any negotiations with anybody that you've spoken to. And another little top tip, so to speak, is as soon as you've messaged somebody or seen somebody or done a viewing, if you've got their number or their details, send them a text message within the hour, within a couple of hours, just saying, thank you ever so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. Love looking around the property with you. We will get back to you ASAP with an offer. Why? Because there aren't many people out there that will take that much time to get in there, to give it that personal touch. To all of a sudden, they're like, oh, they didn't have to send that. That's nice of them, isn't it? At the end of the day, it goes a long way. Yeah, that rhymes. Not following up quick enough, again, it is another one. So make sure that you are following up, as I said before. So how to negotiate to get the deal. This is what I call the agreement process. So you've got to go through this list of details to help them understand your final offer. Now, this is set for rent to rent, because that's predominantly what I'm here to talk about. But you can change things, tweak things to suit whatever strategy it is that you're looking to do, okay? So what I would do then is I would normally look around a property and say to the landlord, now, the landlord, vendor, agent, whatever, whoever I'm talking to at the time, what I will say to them is, can we have a look around the property and then can I have, you know, 5 minutes of your time afterwards just to go through a few of the numbers before we go our separate ways. So you've almost got permission straight away. So normally I look around properties, whether there's one, two or something like that. Then we'll pick somewhere, just go and have a coffee or something. I'll sit them down and then just say, can I just go through some numbers with you now so that I can make sure that I give you the best offer possible because I don't want to waste anybody's time. Nobody's going to say no to that. They're going to say, yep, no problem, as long as they've got time to go for the drink. If not, it's a Zoom call or a phone call. But this is very, very powerful. So for rent to rent, I would be saying, so your market rent is this to them. So get them agreeing. And this whole process is about them saying yes, getting them to start to agree to you. So you'd sit down with them. You'd say your market rent is £3,000 or wherever you are in the country and everything. If you're down south, it's probably £7,000. Do you know what I mean? But where I am, it's about £2,500 to £3,000. Gross rent coming through the door. Is that correct? Yes. And I would be writing all this down, little clipboard or something like that. Your utilities, these are the costs that you were telling me about earlier. I would reiterate what they've maybe already told me. If they haven't, then we start to go on averages or what they think it is. Now, the other thing is, if you're doing something like this and they say to you a number that you pretty much know in the back of your mind, there is no chance that they're paying those sort of utility costs on a property of that size. I always say, are you 100% sure on that? I'm not questioning it. All I would say is, are you doing regular meter reading checks? Because that's what we do. Because we got stung once by a utility company. Why? Because we were paying a set rent, but at the end of the year, they wanted more money because we weren't paying enough and they never came and told us about it. So we do this in my business anyway. So I say, always worth just checking, just reaching out. Why do I do that? Well, because it just gives them a little helping hand. They might think, oh, that's actually quite a good idea. Maybe I need to check that. So it's good advice just to help them. But again, utility costs. So your utilities are blah, blah, blah. Is that correct? Yes. Okay, brilliant. Let's move on. Cleaning and gardening. Do you have cleaners going in there? Well, maybe they've got a management company. It comes out of the management fee. What are you paying for that? Gardening and stuff, what are you paying for that? Yeah. So you're paying this, again, yes. There's a trend going on here, isn't there? Management fees, how much you pay, and 10% plus VAT. So that works out about 12%, doesn't it? That's very, very low. If this is an HMO, I would say again, that's very low for an HMO. Really, it should be around the 15% mark to get a decent agent to look after your property. 10% is fine on buy to lets, but it's not on HMOs and things like that. Gets them thinking again, all of a sudden, maybe I do need to be paying a bit extra to be using, you know, somebody that's actually going to look after my property properly. And again, management fees. So your management fees are these. Yes. And all of a sudden then you've gone through this and they're seeing exactly what they are actually paying. And sometimes when you get to the bottom, they're like, so you're saying that, you know, guaranteed rent wise, you're looking at about £2,000, but yet you're only making about 1300 quid because when you've gone through the maintenance costs, which is the next thing I would go through. So maintenance is really, really good because sometimes I'll say, blooming letting agents, they're charging me a fortune with maintenance fees and all of this sort of thing and all of that sort of thing. In which case, then you can say, okay, well, let's put an average down, maybe 10%, maybe 15% if your maintenance has been high. Would that be fair? Well, I don't think it's that high. Okay, let's go 12%. Do you agree? Yes. Boom. Okay, we've agreed another fee. Voids. Well, I don't really suffer from voids. It's something I get all the time. Yes, but we just looked at your property and two of the rooms are empty. And you said one of them's been empty 2 months and one's been empty 1 month. So we have got some voids to put in, haven't we? Would 10% over the course of the year be, and it's just that conversation. Get them telling you the numbers. Okay, get them saying yes to you. And you can do this, as I say, when you're buying properties and stuff as well. So once you've got those all down there, then you've got a good understanding of basically what the numbers are. You can write that out and you can show it. You could turn it around on a piece of paper to them and say, do you agree with that? Is there anything on there that you don't agree with? Why? Because it'll just help me with my help me with my offer and helping you. So you then show them the facts. This is where we get rid of the fluff and we have the facts. Nothing more, nothing less, okay? You say you've got this per month, you've got this profit, you've got that, actually working it all through. You've got and built up the yes, yes, yes. They've been saying yes to you rather than fighting you. And of course, the more they agree with you, the better it is for everybody there. So when you put an offer to them, they've already, to a certain point, agreed. Because they've agreed the facts. They've agreed what they're actually making. So when you put the offer in there, it's not a shock to them. They're almost expecting or already know. And this is where if you're sat in front of somebody and you're saying to them, so if we could get a ballpark figure, and that's where you know your own numbers, of saying, you know, if we could pay you roughly around the £1,500 mark, would that be a deal that you'd be interested in? You're not messing about then. They've got an idea. You could say it might be a bit higher, it might be a bit less. But let me go away and work on those figures. But looking at that, that would actually be a profit. And if you can work it out so that it is a profit from what they're currently getting, you're into a winner. So I hope you can see that, you know, that can be quite a little powerful process that you can incorporate into your own property business when you're negotiating and putting offers in there and stuff like that. And of course, this works with rent to rents. It works with purchase lease. It works with everything. It works with my wife at the end of the day. She's not sat in a room with me, so I could say that. But there's facts that sometimes I have to go through some of the facts and just get people to understand these things. And I'm sure my kids do this to me. So I think that's where I've got it from, because they're the best negotiators in the world. So the questions you will ask and break down on the numbers will be a different approach, but will get you the same results that you're looking for. And as I say, I teach my students and clients how to do this, have the confidence to go in there, to break it all down. And with a bit of practice, you can use this to great effect as well. So let's just have some top tips here and then we can have any questions and things like that. Always, whatever you're doing, property investing, in your own corporate jobs, in whatever you're doing, have the end in mind. Have a real end in mind, and not an end in mind that you think other people want you to have. Have your end in mind. If you'd have said to me 5 years ago, Mark, what do you want? What would make you happy? I would have said 10 million in the bank, a mansion and a Ferrari. Do you know what? You ask me the same question now. It's my two boys and my wife. As long as I've got them, I could live in a cardboard box on the beach, which I'm by today, and I would still be a happy man. Okay, money, trinkets and everything like that are very superficial. They are what I wanted when I started out, but I realize now that it's people that are most important things. So my end in mind is to have time freedom. It's to be able to take my kids to and from school. It's to be able to take them away whenever I want to go away for long weekends and things like that, to look after my family, to look after my wife and things. So I start with my end in mind. That's fundamentally what I want to do. I use my property businesses to help me do that. So that is a long way off and everything, but it really is having what do you need to live the life that you want to live. And then when you're doing a negotiation, what do you want to have happen in this deal? Not what do you think the landlord's going to want or the agent's going to want. It's what you want. Because if you know what you want, you will have, as I said at the beginning, the power when it comes to those negotiations. And not every deal is going to work. Not every deal works for me. I get far more no's than I do yeses. But when I normally sit down with somebody and go through that step by step, that's normally because I've got to a point where I'm looking at that property. I want that property because I know we can do a really good job for the landlord and it'll be a really good profitable property to put into my business. If I'm not 100% sure, I don't sit down and I don't go through all of that with them. So if I ever speak to any of you and I'm coming to buy your property or anything like that, and we don't go for a coffee afterwards, I'm not interested. But I'll have told you that anyway, and I'm only kidding. So know the strategy that you want to use as well, so that obviously you can answer details, you can have the confidence to know what you're doing. Surround yourself with like-minded people if you're not 100% sure. Know the numbers and make sure that the numbers work, because numbers never lie. Don't fudge the figures. Be prepared to have an open end, and have open-ended questions when you're asking things, so it follows on, so that it incorporates people to ask more, answer more questions with like a full sentence rather than just saying yes or no. So look at having some open-ended sort of questions that people can start flowing on. You know, what made you call me today? Or why is the property on the market? You know, it's things like that, those sort of open-ended ones. Listen more than you speak, which is something I've had to work very hard on over the last few years. You might be able to tell. And always follow any offer with a phone call, nothing else. As soon as you've sent it, okay, within that hour, they may not have seen it. They may not have had time to see it, but follow it up with a phone call. Leave a message if you get answer phone and just say, I'm just following up with you. It shows you're keen, you're committed, you're interested in finding out what they're going to say, and you will get more people responding to you quicker, even if it's agents, if you keep that follow-up process. That follow-up process is gold and will get you more deals than it won't, that's for sure. As I say, have a good follow-up procedure. And remember, no doesn't mean no. It just means not now. So at the end of the day, somebody could say no, and then you follow up in a month's time, you follow up in 2 months' time, all of a sudden they've gone from not being motivated at all in doing any sort of deals because they just think everything's going to be great and carry on as normal. All of a sudden they're motivated. All of a sudden they need your assistance. They need your help. They want you then. So make sure that even if they say no, you give yourself permission to follow up. So if I do a deal with somebody now and they say no to me, I will say to them, okay, no problem there. I'll tell you what, if the property is still on the market in 4 weeks' time, I might just follow up with you. Is that okay with you, just to see how things are getting on? And they normally say, yeah, whatever. You got permission, go and follow up with them. Let's connect. I'm on social media, Facebook, all of that. You can scan that code thing and go on my link tree and then connect with me. If you have any problems, you need any help with anything, then do feel free to reach out to me. And basically, I will hand it back to Tom now.
Wow, your energy's like, I feel like my energy is going to bring this right down. I hope everyone's ready to chill out, like a chamomile or something like that, because that was a lot. And I mean that in a brilliant good way, in a way that I frankly couldn't even nearly replicate. For the people, because I'm going to forget and I kind of close the slide, so I'll forget later on. So for those who are lazy amongst us, which is most of you, especially on the podcast, could you just read out what your website is in case people want to find it, Matt?
The website is www.thepropertyunleashed.com.
Bless you. And remind people as well what the podcast is in case they're searching for your podcast.
So the podcast is the Property Unleashed podcast.
Fabulous. Great. We've done that either at the end, but I don't want to do that now because you've got your contact details up in the live meeting. Speaking of the live meeting, I'm going to tell everyone earlier, I'm going to go about 5 minutes over here. So if anyone in the live meeting needs to roll, that's fine. If you need to go on the podcast, that's a bit weird because you could see how long this podcast was at the start. So what do you think? But if you arrive at your destination, obviously, drive safe. And we're going 5 minutes. And if anyone in the live chat needs to roll, that's obviously fine. And it's totally on me, not Mark. I was 5 minutes late starting to chatting about something, so that's why. Okay, Max, for a start off, as Mike was talking, the main thing I was thinking, other than how good his talk was that he's the only person I know who looks the younger in person than he does on his publicity shots. What's going on? Was it Things got easier. You just got good sunlight today, or what?
It's a lot's to do with lighting. A lot's to do with lighting and good filters, I guess. I don't know, actually. Maybe I need to sack my photographer.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bad day for the photos. But you're looking smashing now, which is the obviously a good way around. I'm going to jump straight into it. Anyone in the live chat got some questions or any feedback, then bob it in. We'll get to as many as we can. I'm going to do a couple of questions, then we'll get to anyone else's. A lot of excitement about Rent to Rent from you and everyone else, for that matter. And I think a lot of that excitement is because it is an exciting strategy. I think a lot of the excitement is also partly because people can get into it with little or no money down, as the advertising often goes. I think that's exciting, but I always think the other side that's maybe not talked about, and you'll know better than me because I'm not a full-time rent-to-rent person, lease option or whatever it is that it can be really tricky. The people who come along to this meeting, for example, and we chat to you, or I chat to you, I'd say there's more failures than successes. I think a lot of people struggle to make it work, as well as those who make it work very, very well. Thanks very much. What do you think, you've talked about some of those challenges today, but do you think there's a reason it's so challenging, or is it not that challenging? Did you find it easy?
I'd say in property, nothing's easy. There is nothing that's ever easy in property. If somebody tells you it's easy, then I would go and speak to somebody else because they don't know what they're talking about. There are challenges. There are ups and downs. There are things because people are involved. So there's always challenges. There's always pace. The one thing I will say is when I started out learning, rent to rent as a strategy and things, I didn't really have anybody to be able to. I had mentors and a few coaches and things, but turning around to people and saying, is this a good deal? Did a number stack? The first mentor I ever spoke to about this turned around to me and said, well, do you think it's a good deal? I was like, I don't know. I've never done a deal before. So my first few deals weren't the best deals. They were okay, but they weren't the best. But I find that more and more people now just think it's easy. They think, oh, I tell you what, I can get a few rent to rents, quit my job and happy days. And then they realize, no, you need systems in place. You need to build it as a business. So I always set out to build property. I like building businesses anyway. So I always set out to make sure that I set things up with a business, with systems, with processes, without me running around doing everything. Eventually, I did everything in the beginning. So for me, when it was hard and it was difficult and you had, problem tenants or you had issues with the properties or the landlords, you just deal with those. It's a part or parcel of business. Now, I've ran production lines of 80 men and women for the Swift Group for caravans and motorhomes. So I'm used to problems all day long. I'm used to that sort of environment where, there are issues there. But one of the great things is to sort of put a spin on it and say, well, there's no problems, only solutions. Let's find what the solutions are and nip them in the bud. Now, we still have issues, we still have problems and stuff, but I'm luckily enough now able to pay people to do so. But what I will find is most people do deals and fudge the numbers. They just do not get the numbers to work and stack, and they don't have anybody to turn to say, is this a good deal? Do these numbers work? Would you do this deal? They're just so quick to go out there, grab hold of anything, and then think that they can make all of this money because they're in cuckoo land and read it in a podcast, read it on a book or a podcast or something. So you've got to get the facts, and that's why I say you've got to get rid of the fluff, and you need to know what the landlords and agents want as well.
Yeah, it's and if you get those deals, and by the way, I've had them. By the sounds you've had, you've had them too. Is you then stuck with something for 5, 10 years, whatever it might be, or forever if you bought it. And you can turn those around, you can bury them, whatever. But it can be a real drag on your progress, right? It's an opportunity cost.
Well, that's why, as I said there again, and you're perfectly right there, Tom. You need to know what you're doing. So I've given properties back. I have break clauses in my contracts because a lot of people also with property get too personal with it. When I do a business, it's business to business. So if I do business with you, Tom, I take on one of your properties. It's my company. It's a business to business agreement. Now, maybe 6 months down the line, it's not quite worked out the way I wanted it to do. And I can't deliver maybe the results that I wanted to deliver, A, for myself and B, for you. I'm not earning enough money to be able to manage the property in the right manner. I then issue the break clause, but I make sure that I give the properties back in the same condition, or if not a better condition than we had them in. A lot of people, and I've seen this because they've come to me, are locked into 5-year agreements. That's crazy. That is crazy. This is business at the end of the day. So have a break clause that everybody can agree with because it's business. If a letting agent had your property and you weren't happy, you would get out of that contract. Again, if a letting agent didn't want to manage your property, they would end your contract. So this is exactly the same sort of thing.
Absolutely. You said something which I wrote down. It was, I think, on one of the slides you were sharing. So it said, and I may have got this slightly wrong, I was typing away. It says, as soon as you understand that all the deals and negotiations are down to you being able to provide a solution, you will hold the power in negotiations. I thought that was very powerful. That was very good, because negotiations are things that make people nervous, especially new property people. It's like, it can be uncomfortable. Like you said, there's this temptation, which I have the same, and I imagine a lot of people listening do too, which is to fill in the gaps, fill in the silences. And those are the silences you need to leave, because that's where the person will tell you what's really going on, because they're leaving a silence while they think about how much they trust you and whether they're going to tell you the real thing. Very, very quick story. One of mine was, and again, touched on your point you were saying, I'm kind of moving around points here, but it was touching on the point that you were making about how sometimes the real thing is something you just wouldn't have considered. There was a house that the lady wanted to sell me a house, when it just happened to sell it to me for maybe a little below market value. But the real reason, it took me a long time to work it out, the real reason she was coming to me rather than just to an agent was because she was embarrassed there was a load of clutter in there. It was really full of stuff and she was ashamed about it. And it took me a long time to work out that she'd rather just deal with me and I could make this problem go away, and was happy to empty out the house. And once I worked it out, but I did that, as you were talking about, through conversations and through, I'm kind of mixing two points a bit, but by being clear on my negotiations and what I wanted out of it, but also by holding the space and letting her talk. So I thought that both those points you made were really good. I'm not sure there's a question in there. I felt it wasn't the start, I've lost it. But I suppose that for people listening and watching, is like, negotiations can be scary. They are scary. So don't try and pretend they're not scary, especially if your first one, for example. But by having some strategy, having some clarity, and having some knowledge, like Mark sharing with us now, shared with us today, it can be easy. And I can't speak for you, Mark, but I think I probably can. That it gets easier as well, doesn't it? Like anything with experience.
Yeah. Oh, of course. I didn't do all of this on my first deal. I fumbled and bumbled my way around like everybody else does, which is why, you know, like I say, to get better at things, you learn more. So you seek advice, you look for help, and then you start incorporating what you want. So one thing I would always say to everybody here, right here, right now, or listening to this later on, is make sure you know what your values are in your property business. Even if your property business is a hobby and you only want a couple of properties, what do you stand for? What do you deliver? And how can you help? And if you get those three things right, then like I say, you have the power to be able to walk into any situation and say, this isn't a deal for me, but I tell you what, Mr. Landlord or agent or Mrs. Landlord, this is how I can help you. If you go and speak to this person here, they're more inclined to be able to do this sort of deal or help you in this way. And I'm a massive believer in what goes around comes around in life. If you help others, you in turn will see that help coming your way. So know what it is you want and don't try and fit, like we always say, you know, a round peg into a square hole, so to speak. I know it's the old cliche thing, but know what you're doing, because it will give you more confidence and power. A lot of people say to me, and I know I'm harping on a bit, or I'll try and be quick. A lot of people say to me, I don't know what to say. That's because you don't know what you stand for. You don't know what values you're actually going to deliver. You don't know the service or the deal that you want to do. Sit down, write it out. These are the deals that I want. These are the properties that I want. And this is how I can help property owners right here, right now. And then at least when somebody asks you a question, you'll be like, well, I can do this. We're a transparent company that looks after your property as if it's our own. And we make sure that, you know, you know what's going on there. And we take the hassle away from property management. Those sorts of things. And just incorporate that into whatever strategy you're doing.
Absolutely. One more from me, one more from the floor, and we'll wrap up. You said, sir, I sounded like a prosecution lawyer, didn't I? Which maybe is my job, so fair enough. It said, if you're not feeling a bit awkward with how often you're following up on people, then you're not following up enough. I really like that idea. I think that's true, and that's something I'm not very good at, not nearly as good at as you by the sounds of it. I try to be, I understand the power of it, but that doesn't mean I'm doing it. There's that old saying, isn't there, to know and not to do is not to know.
Yeah.
And I went to the latter category, which is exactly where you don't want to be, although I'm improving. Anyway, the point is, I've got a client at the moment who I think might be interested, one of these ones where it's taking a little bit of time. You know, you can feel there's a deal there, but you can also feel like they're not quite ready yet. Like a turkey on Christmas morning. I'm vegetarian. It's a bad example. We move on, which is, so it's going to take a while. And I think that if I went with sort of, you know, phoning every hour, phoning every week, phoning very often, I might lose her. Again, I'm not a fisherman, but for obvious reasons, but like a tricky fish on the line. I was wondering whether there were times where you on purpose go a little bit more gentle, but maybe a shy person or a person who you feel like it might take a little bit longer. I'm also worried, though, this might just be my fear talking, and the real reason I'm saying this and trying to argue my way out of phoning her is because I'm scared of phoning her. I was wondering where you stand on something like that.
So I always used to think like that, but ever since I've done this sort of process, you just be honest with people. So some people might say to you, why are you ringing me so much? Do you know what I mean? Well, I'm keen, I can help you. I think I've got the answer or the solution to the problem that you're having. And I just want to have a chat with you and get it across to you. Or the offer that I put on the table here is a great offer. But obviously we are a property business. We do have other things going on. And I don't want to miss out on this opportunity if it's the right opportunity to work with you, because I really, really like you. Rather than that, so I always look at it as you can't ring up and just say, I'm ringing up, I don't really know what to say, I'm just ringing up because Mark said to ring up. You've got to ring up and sort of, so you know where you are up to, Tom, in that conversation with the lady, or where you got to. If you've got to the point where it's like brass tacks numbers, it's like, I want a yes or a no, because for me, no is the most honest word in the English dictionary. You know where you stand if somebody says no. If you said to me, Mark, you're going for a beer tonight, well, maybe, I've got no intention of going for a beer, you know. But you go, maybe I'll give you a call. I'd rather you said no. That's what I do now. So I either say yes or no to things. But it's like, I'd rather them say, listen, it's not right for me. Okay, no problem. Well, we can work on that if need be. But I'd rather know that than let it drag out, because a lot of people will, like ourselves, procrastinate on it.
Absolutely. All right. So turn to the chat. Mark says, good to see you all today. Thanks, Other Mark, for a good boost of energy. Julie says, fat talk, thank you. Sent you a Facebook message. I think she's following up.
Okay, cool.
You're already in business. And she says, Tom, awesome meet as always. Thanks for hosting. Yeah, so most of the comments were me, to be honest.
That's all right. That's good. As long as people have got value.
Not a competition. And then perhaps most importantly or interestingly, thank you very much to iPhone 3. John says, thanks for Mark for the valuable insights. Wow. Actually, it's more for you, really. But then we got a question from iPhone 3. Thank you to iPhone 3, who says, can you give some examples of values, the kind of values that you stand for, or that you think might be the kind of values you want to bring to the table that you were talking about earlier?
Yeah, well, that's where I started with my business. So I thought to myself, listen, there's a lot of agents out there. There's a lot of people out there doing property businesses and stuff like that. But what do I stand for? What sets me apart from everybody else? And one of the things, talking to landlords, talking to agents, is that landlords want to know where they are. They want to know what they're getting monthly. They want to know. So it's transparency. So we are a transparent business. If there's a problem, we will notify you on that. We won't fudge it around. We won't go and fix things on your behalf and then hit you with a big bill. We are a transparent company. If you want to see the rents and the numbers that are coming in, we'll share that with you. At the end of the day, this is just business. We also will make sure that we maintain your property to a higher standard that we receive it. So that's another value of ours. And we treat properties. I've always gone into this. I treat a rent-to-rent property as if it's my own property, okay? As if I am the landlord. Why? Because for want of it, I am the landlord while it's under my care of my business. So we treat properties as if they're our own. So it's those sort of values that you can say to somebody. They say, well, how does this work? Well, we look after your property as if we're a management agent, but we're better. Why? Because we look after your property as if it's our own. We're a transparent company that can help assist you in any manner. And we take away the hassle of property investing. We take care of all minor maintenance issues. You can tell I've done this a few times. All minor maintenance issues. And of course, leave you to get on with your life. You'll only hear from us if you want to hear from us, or if there's a problem that actually we need to speak to the landlord about. So it's just having those values that if somebody asks you, you can just break straight into something and say, we can do this, this, and this for you. And that is why we are better than the competition in our area.
Yeah, the values are like, for me anyway, not putting words in your mouth, but like a starting point. So every question someone asks is like something you can refer back to.
Yeah.
You sort of, almost Ten Commandments out of the Bible, isn't it? Like, this is what we stand for. And therefore, depending on your question, I can answer it easily because I know where we started. I know what all this, I know what the source of the river is. And therefore, I know where the river's going to flow. I know what I'm going to do. And also know what we're not going to do. Like, could I have a free biscuit? No, we don't need biscuits. Because I've checked with the values and biscuits isn't on there, you know.
Exactly. So,
it helps you to know what you do and what you don't do. Stay in your lane, but stay in your lane really well. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think you explained it better than me at the end of the day. It really is. It is just about making sure that, like I say, if they ask me something and they say, do you do this? I don't do that. I just say, no, that's not something that we do. You know, if that's something that's your values and you stand by. But most of the time when I deal with people, they say, I like you. I want to work with you. Why? Because your values align with mine. And those are the people that we want to be doing business with.
Yeah, exactly. That's where the opposite of the gut reaction against, isn't it? That's where the gut reaction for, this is the guy or this is the lady I want to work with, because I can tell we're on the same page here. And that's what being on the same page means, is we've got similar values that are going to align. Okay, great stuff. thanks everyone for attending today, and of course to all those listening to the podcast. Really appreciate it. The quickest of quick shout outs to Mark mentioned earlier that he, amongst other things, I think he has some mentoring clients, does some coaching maybe. So if you're interested in property mentoring, first of all, check Mark out, he's available. But a special thanks, of course, to our speaker, Mark Fitzgerald. I think that was brilliant today, really sort of packed a lot of value and learning into a relatively short period of time. Thanks again, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Recording stopped.
Thank you for having me. Take care, guys. Thanks a lot.